and queer home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And we are switching up our audio gear in our efforts to ever improve, and we'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we're trying a different setup. If it's not good, let me know. All right. One of my favorite topics.
Actually, do you know what the greatest tragedy is? Because we're wearing...
The Bee Gees?
That is the greatest tragedy. Much better than Steps. But it's right next to our necks, and I just took a sip of tea, and I could hear every drop of liquid going down my throat.
Oh, no, because I drink tea a lot in this show.
Yeah, so we're going to have to hold for the breaks.
Yeah, good gosh. Now, are men really having a friendship crisis?
A friendship
that
crisis?
That is the gist of the story.
Okay, but when you phrase it, are they really having a friendship crisis? That implies that people have been accusing this as being a
It sounds like... that there's question as to whether or not there is a friendship crisis.
That thing that everyone's been talking about, is that true? But I know that there's a lot of studies about isolation and loneliness, that there's a loneliness crisis. Mm-hmm. But the loneliness crisis is also isolation from family. And that's actually
Well, they're leaning on a 2006 analysis of that was published in the American Sociological Review.
2006? Couldn't find anything that's less than 12 years old?
I know, it is a bit bad. Yeah. And they found that white heterosexual men have the fewest friends of anybody. It's weird that this is like now a new story again. But I think it's been coming up in a bit of the sort of coming up in the zeitgeist. Sort of people are starting to talk about it, but there isn't really a lot of studies.
Yeah. Well, it's...
that people can lean on.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think? Is there there is a loneliness crisis.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think in the UK, they declared it an emergency. And I think for a while, it may still be in place. But there was a ministerial position on loneliness, the Minister of Loneliness, essentially. And it was all by myself.
It's kind of like...
adorable.
Adorable, but in a tragic way. Like a dog with...
Is
like
it
a puppy
bad that
with
I,
three legs.
I just pictured it as Eeyore. As the Minister for Loneliness.
No, I imagine him as like a puppy golden retriever that's missing a leg.
Aww.
Just hobbling along with those big doughy eyes. And he's trying so hard, but he's just got three legs.
I mean, I think when Canada is looking at the cabinet decisions, which will be coming out in November 20th-ish, you know, this is, like I said, in the UK, they took this really seriously because loneliness does kill.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about social isolation leads to higher suicide ideation, as in the more lonely you are, the more likely you are to commit suicide.
Well, it also, it worsens depression, and depression worsens everything else. So if you have diabetes, your diabetes is worse if you're lonely or depressed.
Yeah.
There's also a financial issue associated with it. So, like... I mean, this is taking a very hard number, cynical approach. So bear in mind, I do acknowledge that there is humanity behind this. But as loneliness goes up, things like the entertainment industry doesn't generate as much profit. Mm-hmm. Eating out, the food industry worsens. I mean, there's a lot of sort of secondary things.
There's out and about.
There's an economic effect that occurs with this. You also have people... social anxiety can get worse. Social isolation can get worse. You have more people, rightly so, getting diagnosed with things like major social anxiety disorder, or one of them. There's not a disorder called majors. It's a category of disorders.
Yeah.
And then they qualify for ODSP, and now they're at home, and they're living off the system instead of contributing to it as taxpayers. Now, admittedly, this is a completely cold, hard, sort of conservative approach. Mm. But like, if you're looking at it from the perspective of, do we need a minister of loneliness?
Okay, so absolutely. And I think the UK took it seriously. We're talking about, step to a different point.
Well, the financial cost, the human cost, the waste of
the
lives.
The health cost, the increase to the health budgets. Yeah. And not only is it's a mental health crisis, not only in Canada, but the world around.
Well, this is actually, it does tie into a conversation that, we've actually recorded this conversation a few times, but we cut it because
financial
time constraints. The idea that the health crisis is being mischaracterized, it's more than just schizophrenia and bipolar depression. It is things like isolation and loneliness that is a part of the mental health crisis, which does have costs both in terms of quality of life for the individual, but also in terms of like social cost, economic cost. Mm-hmm. Like it affects everyone when these numbers get high, and it is to the benefit of society to try to bring everyone into the fold.
The way that this is a gay issue, we are an LGBT radio show, is that, you know, LGBT seniors, seniors as a whole, are very isolated, very, much more isolated than the younger generations, you know. And that's a serious issue.
Yeah.
That's why we're seeing really innovative approaches such as co-housing coming up. Everyone's a golden girl now. Like everyone's just, you know, roommating. And there's some great programs where they put students to live with empty nesters.
That's the Dutch one.
And that's gaining in popularity. We're also seeing LGBT seniors residences and LGBT seniors retirement communities start up.
Yeah, because the instinct for the longest time is stick them in a home. But it's actually, it's better for independence. It's better for health outcomes. It's also financially better if you have like that sort of cooperative thing where you have a building where every apartment has two or three people living together, helping to take care of each other.
Even on their own, but they can live in the community.
Yeah. And then you have, on the first floor, maybe one or two apartments, you've got like, you know, a healthcare worker, a social worker, somebody who can do financial help, who just goes around and makes sure that everyone's fine. Mm-hmm. Have social events.
Assisted housing, essentially.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, it's a lot cheaper than putting them in home, which has much more intensive care.
Yeah.
It's sort of that step between full independence and being cared for.
Yeah.
And as Canada ages, because Canada is aging, we're getting grayer. I'm getting grayer in my beard. You're just a gray personality, and we're going to... Sorry.
Although I do have a little bit of a Paul Rudd effect going on, where people are always surprised at my age. Mm-hmm. People, Paul Rudd's in his late 40s.
Which is astonishing.
He's just frozen in time.
Yeah, I would believe that.
Some kind of a gypsy wish or something like that. I don't know.
I think he prayed to the right gods.
Yeah. That's
what it is. Now, do you... So all of this comes back to my question at the start.
Right.
Is there a crisis of lack of friends, a friendship crisis? And I think this goes a long way.
There's a lot of data.
There's a lot, also a lot to unpack here.
Yeah.
I think straight white men, because I have many straight white men friends, find it sometimes hard to create friendships. And when we look at environments where those friendships would normally happen, organized sport, there was a story out in the New York Times that American football teams are massively decreasing in size.
Hmm.
There's less people participating in organized sport. There's
I think American football, I would like to see that sport wiped off the face of the earth just because it destroys lives. It injures people.
You talk about like concussions and...
And like if all those people transferred over into rugby and lacrosse and football, I would be happy. It's not the death of team sport. That sport in particular is just bad for society.
We're talking about, you know, a decline in, you know, organized sports. We're seeing, you know, such as, I'm sure there are sports that have seen an uptick, but people aren't going into group activities as much, you know. Are the Boy Scouts doing as well as they were?
You know,
and it begs the question, environments where you would see lots of men amongst each other, building those relationships and building those friendships.
Well, also women.
Yeah, and women as well.
It's happening at a slower rate than it is with men, but it is definitely happening. Something that I've noticed, because there have been groups that I have participated in the past, and I found... they would peak in numbers, and then all of a sudden they would drop. And every single time, the thing that would cause those numbers to drop is somebody would come in, and they would problematize literally everything.
Mm.
And I understand that, like, you know, we've had this conversation before, that I understand and I am 100% on board with the ultimate goals of a lot of the sort of aims of social justice and modern feminism. But then you look at the kind of person who shows up and tries to implement them. Quite often are people who learned it off Tumblr, and they
You have such a beef with Tumblr.
I hate Tumblr so strongly.
Such a beef.
And no sensitivity to context, no sensitivity to, like, you know, they're doing it that way because of historical reasons, no sensitivity to you know, so ethnicity or class or anything like that. So you have
these social groups have been derailed by one or two characters.
One or two characters who make it hard to integrate. And you'd think that, and a lot of it is also people are too polite to kick that one person out and say, this is not that kind of group. And unfortunately, a lot of the successful social groups that you're seeing right now, especially in North America, they're either 100% made out of characters like that, or you have sort of right-leaning associations that boot them out. So, I mean, the Proud Boys is maybe not a very good example currently, but in the early stages of the Proud Boys, it was actually ethnically incredibly a diverse group. It was not a white supremacist group at all when it first started. It was sort of a sarcastic, jokey group at first. And if you actually see, because there's footage of, like, you know, Proud Boys going out to drink, and it was a very diverse group. And whenever anybody started problematizing anything, they'd be like, you know what, buddy, this is not the space for you.
You said to me earlier that millennials are causing the death of alcoholism.
Yeah.
Because millennials aren't drinking as much as they were before.
They do, but like I look at people who are Gen Xers, who I occasionally hang out. Technically, I'm one. I was born right on the cusp. I'm technically the last Gen Xer and the first millennial, sort of like Jesus was the last Jew.
Oh.
As the Catholics say that Jesus was the last Jew. But anyway, this is probably not a good metaphor, but whatever. I'm going to roll with it. That I see people...
I get so much hate mail from all of
these. I know. I see people in their 40s who are like, we're going out tonight, but we have to start drinking at 8. I cannot go out until I'm drunk. Mm. And then I look at people who are younger, because I hang out with a lot of people, and they're like, we're going out tonight. Do you want to have a drink? One or two. You know, I want to be able to get there and back safely. Like, it's a completely different attitude.
Yeah. Oh, the way I look at it, I am a millennial, not your on the cusp BS.
Yeah.
But the way I look at it is like, okay, I want a night out. I am willing to spend 80 to 100 for the whole evening.
Right.
And that is, if I go see a show, that's night on the town.
Yeah.
That's movie and a dinner, you know. And I'm like, because I feel like millennials are a lot more budget conscientious.
Yeah.
Because we just don't have the disposable income. The
alcoholism is expensive.
Alcoholism is expensive.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous.
There's a British group called the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band, and they have this wonderful song called Rhinocratic Oats. And in there, there's a verse where there's a woman who wins the lottery, and then the guy who delivers her the check asks her, what are you going to do with the money? And she says, oh, I think I'll become an alcoholic. And whenever I think of alcoholism, it's like, how do you afford it? Well, you afford it by making bad life decisions elsewhere in life. And we could, some other episode.
But I think this goes back to the alcohol sales driving down as well.
Yeah.
You know, millennials are looking more for relationships of, they're looking for authenticity.
Yeah.
Which is really the big buzzword for millennials.
It is. People have studied the authenticity paradox, that they crave authenticity and then they engage in social media, which is the most inauthentic way of interacting with other people.
My point here is about alcohol. So we see those mainstays, you know, Bud Light and Coors and other cheap beer.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't really know anyone of my age group who will sit and drink a Bud unless they were handed it for free.
Yeah.
Because if I'm going to spend $4 or $5, I'll get a local craft that has a better flavor profile.
That's not entirely true. You and I have a common former roommate who drinks a Pilsner that is called Pilsner.
Yes. Well, I think she is an exception to the rule.
But she's a beer and chicken wings lesbian.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think they're single-handedly maintaining the industry.
Yeah. But, well, and also, I should say, for a listening audience, I genuinely do believe that beer and chicken wings is a lesbian archetype. I've met multiple beer and chicken wing lesbians. They're pretty uncomplicated folk, and I love hanging out with them. And every time I describe them, you, in my eyes, are a beer and chicken wing lesbian. They always say, you know, that is the term. That's the word I've been looking for my whole life. And it was actually, there was a beer and chicken wing lesbian I knew when I lived in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I don't care about all this feminism stuff. I just want beer and chicken wings. And I was like, you know what? I like you. You're my friend.
But all of this circles back.
Right, sorry.
You know, and the way that this is all connected is, you know, we are seeing still in the straight scene that sort of intense clubbing, that sort of binge drinking element that goes with it. And
but that's dying out too.
It is. Yeah. But I think maybe the gay world here might have the path forward. So we talked about the renaissance of LGBT sports groups.
Okay, okay.
And as a way of, because Grindr killed the gay bars.
Oh, yeah.
Essentially. I mean, yeah. Now they're kind of having a resurgence, but not as clubs, but more as, you know.
Yeah.
The volume's down by several decibels.
Well, there's the other thing, which is that every LGBT space has to be an LGBT space for all LGBT. Like, you can't have a gay man space, you can't have a lesbian space, because if you have a lesbian space, people are like, well, what about trans women? Okay, now you make it trans inclusive, and then it's not a lesbian space anymore. So where do lesbians go? Because lesbian culture, as opposed to women with same-sex attraction, like, lesbian as a cultural package, like that sort of, like, flannel, I mean, I know I'm making a stereotype, but like flannel and Lilith Fair and beer and chicken wings, like, mm-hmm. they don't necessarily fit into the grander picture of women who are attracted to other women. Mm-hmm. It's a subgroup within that space.
Trans folks could identify as lesbians.
Absolutely. Okay. And I have actually met trans women who are beer and chicken wing lesbians. Like, mm-hmm. and they totally just slot right in. They're just like, give me my spicy wings. Like, they're just, yeah. But it's, you can't have a space for everyone. It just can't be done.
But in the gay community, it's been for decades about building that sense of community amongst each other.
Yeah.
You know, with as an effect of the AIDS epidemic that wiped nearly everybody off the earth.
And the community, you know, just flew apart at
absolutely.
That point.
Well, it got obliterated as a result of the AIDS epidemic.
People were afraid of each other.
And rightly so. I mean, it was terrifying a time to live in. And I think it took a long time of community building to come out of that. And when Grindr killed off the gay bars, we started to see these sports groups re-emerging. We started to see
choirs and clubs
and
hiking groups.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's about building those friendships amongst each other. And I think that maybe straight folks need to take a page out of that.
Well, I mean, I think more, you know, LGBT folks also need to take a page out of that. And this is something that's definitely true. Okay. Get off Facebook. Don't go on Reddit.
You're still on Facebook?
Technically. It's not about digital spaces. Stop thinking that joining an online club is the same as joining a club. There's a few exceptions. Like, there's a few, like, international servers. Like, you go on WoW and you're part of your guild, or you go on Minecraft and you build stuff with a team. That's a little bit different, but it's still not quite the same as being in the room with other people. You need to be in the room with other people. And this actually kind of taps into that sort of secular religiosity thing, that like a lot of this loneliness is caused because that space used to be occupied by religion.
It used to be occupied by the church. You are absolutely right.
And the death of the church has left a vacuum.
Well,
and
not the death of the church, but the decline
of the church.
The steady, clear decline of church attendance. Yeah.
And we just need to find secular substitutes. Mm-hmm. Basically. And there are things like, actually, secular yoga is on its way up. Partly because, I don't know if you've ever been to a yoga class. I've been to several yoga classes with several yoga instructors, and I have been to one that was not cringy. So,
I mean, you are also very easily cringed.
Yes, I am very easily cringed. I do admit that I'm deeply, deeply cynical and profoundly jaded. That is
of
my way.
All things.
Yeah, that is.
It's amazing we didn't call our show Deeply, Deeply Cynical and Profoundly Jaded. We're going to jump to our first song. This is by Melanie C of
the Spice
Girls fame.
I love Mel C.
With High Heels, and we'll be back just after this.
I'll be dancing home tonight with my high heels in my hand. Since I started saving for my new shoes, they're coming out of the box tonight. They're gonna wow you.
Hello and welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Stu Luke Smith.
And I persist in being Sebastian.
You endeavor to be Sebastian.
Oh no, I have achieved it.
Oh wow, yes. I just endeavor to be Luke Smith. It is my life's goal to be me. Okay, let's jump to it. There was a student, yes, okay. One particular student, from the... trying to find the...
Oh, this is the Manitoba story.
The Interlake School Division. I'm trying to count it. It's in Manitoba. It's just north of Manitoba.
North of Manitoba is James Bay.
Yeah. Just north of Winnipeg.
There you go.
I was trying to find the words for here. She was at the Stonewall Collegiate, a 17-year-old girl. Now, the reason why this is important is because the 17-year-old girl posted a whole bunch of A4 documents that essentially said a whole bunch of... Are you okay?
You need to put your microphone closer to your face.
That better?
A bit better.
So the reason why this girl was all over the news is because she posted up these pages of documents saying, about... Apparently, she was told, she claims to have been told that she must wear and everyone must wear a rainbow poppy.
Okay.
And then she printed a document that says it's a whole bunch of quotes from social media posts.
Okay.
So you know it's going to be good.
Uh-huh.
Which includes quotes such as, keep it in your pants. Nobody, bold and underline, needs or wants to see it. What that has to do with wearing a poppy... I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then another quote is, way to undo centuries of blood, sweat, and tears, all because you needed to do the dishes. Yet again, no idea how that relates
to it.
What's
the connection? Yeah.
And then also the quote of, if you didn't make such a big deal about it and force people to make it a part of their lives, there would be no problems. So she got them taken down. And in it, she says that the teachers took all of the posters down. And she was brought into the school and told off for hate speech.
Okay.
Now, a lot of these, specifically targeting LGBT students.
Right.
The idea of, if you didn't make such a big deal and it wouldn't be an issue. Whereas we know in the long history of LGBT rights, when people did nothing, they were beaten up and...
Stuff slid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, can I just preemptively... Because I know how this story ends.
Yeah,
so
in tears.
A preemptive little... poke.
Yeah.
There is nowhere in Canada where you have to wear the poppy. It is optional. It has always been optional. Even back in the 40s when they first started wearing them, it was optional.
Yeah.
So is this fake news or is this a real story?
The girls' version of events became very much, it was just blasted everywhere.
Yeah.
Now the school board, the Interlake School Division, and I have their quote here somewhere, they released a statement.
Is the statement, she's crazy, we never said that?
No, of course not.
Okay.
The school boards would never make such a statement.
Oh, well, I'm summarizing.
So the statement from the Board of Trustees of the Interlake School Division regarding recent social media coverage of the use of rainbow poppies, in light of misinformation which is widely spread on social media, we will share that at no point did any staff member of Stonewall Collegiate or Interlake School Division direct, nor mandate, any student to wear a rainbow poppy.
Okay, yeah.
The Board of Trustees will not comment on the matters regarding the individual student. So it is, she was suspended, by the way.
Okay.
And the school board won't comment on who was suspended or why they were suspended.
All right.
Because of privacy.
Right.
And that's fine.
She is a minor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of websites in the right of the spectrum have run with the story that because she protested having to wear a rainbow poppy, she has been suspended.
Well, this is the big old, does this make sense to you sniff test when it comes to the news. Like, I remember the first time I heard about Jussie Smollett. The first time I heard it, I was like, oh, that sounds tragic. And then I heard the details, and it was like, wait a minute. At 2 in the morning in February in Chicago, two guys were hanging out in an alleyway wearing MAGA hats. Those are trucker hats. They're tissue thin. It was probably like 40 below at the time. Are you sure they were wearing MAGA hats and not like there's a sniff test issue mm-hmm. with that story that was just like, there's one detail that throws it off.
We're gonna do some more sniffing.
And for me, this story, the sniff test is, unless you're in an event of some kind, like some kind of a commemorative thing here in Ottawa, where you're up putting the wreath on the statue, there is no environment where you are required to wear the poppy in Canada. And even then, you don't have to wear the poppy. It would just look weird mm-hmm. if you were in a commemorative event and you weren't wearing it.
This Hour is 22 Minutes did a skit about how every time you turn your back, the poppy disappears.
It's true.
And then you have to get another one.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, they go, you know, we don't know where the poppies go, but we know where the money goes, and it goes to support the Legion.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, that's really accurate. And I have a poppy, and one of the things that I find, one of my favorite things about living in Ottawa is that every November the 11th,
okay,
or shortly thereafter, because the November 11th in Ottawa is just nightmare. But I have been to I have gone there on November the 11th at the National War Memorial and seen the proceedings.
Yeah.
And you know, followed it and witnessed it. And it is something quite powerful to witness. And then every year, shortly afterwards, I go and take my poppy and I place it on the tomb of the unknown soldier.
Yeah.
And if you look, you can see hundreds and hundreds of poppies placed, that people wear, placed on the tomb of the unknown soldier. So for me, like that's how I commemorate. And I wear a Royal Legion red and black poppy.
So the British style with the two leaves, petals.
I do like the actual physical poppy more from the UK. It's less stabby than the Canadian version.
Okay.
But no, I got the Canadian one.
Okay.
So the Canadian Legion.
The plastic one that's made of the red piece and the green piece and the pin that's holding it all together and it all falls apart when you look at it funny?
I think it's just black and red now.
And it's not actually glued together or anything?
No. Okay. So anyway, the whole point is, there's this rainbow poppy, a huge outrage, and we couldn't not talk about it.
Okay, yeah.
So there was a rainbow glittery poppy style badge.
Okay.
Available for £6 UK.
Yeah.
On eBay.
I saw the picture, and there's the current version, and then there's also a picture of another version that they sold a couple years ago.
Well,
this year's has 5 colors, and the one from a few years ago has 8 colors. So if you want to say it's a gay thing, it doesn't have the 6 colors. It's just a rainbow.
This is where the debunking comes in. This is more of the sniffing. you cannot buy this badge.
Okay.
This seller got so much backlash for having a poppy style badge.
Right.
That she pulled not only the badge, but her entire wares off of eBay. You cannot buy, it is impossible to purchase this badge that apparently this girl in Manitoba was told that she had to wear.
Right.
So how is she supposed to wear it and all 200 odd students if it is impossible to buy said badge?
And the one now, on eBay is like,
you mentioned the other one.
What?
Which is the red with the little, the slight fade of colors one of the petals.
Way too many colors. It's not the...
That was also just a picture. It is not an actual poppy. It was a poppy designed by, I think it was a famous poet in 2016, Trudeau Hausen, according to Pink News. And it was a picture of a stylization as part of a series that was put out at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot buy it. You could not buy it. It is not available. It does not exist.
Yeah.
It is not an LGBT poppy. It is just a poppy stylized with a rainbow.
And that's another thing that I keep reminding other people of all the time. Not everything rainbow is LGBT.
No.
We have not thoroughly stolen it. It is also a symbol of diversity. It is a symbol of healing.
A symbol of hope.
In North American culture, it means healing. The rainbow is also a symbol of the promissory note between God and Jerusalem that he's not going to flood us again. So, I mean, it has a lot of symbolism in a lot of cultures around the world. It is not 100% a gay thing. If it's those specific 6 colors in that order, it might be.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't see a 6-color rainbow, it's just a rainbow.
So At the end of the story, the school board in Manitoba denies telling anyone that they have to wear a rainbow poppy.
Because they don't
exist. Second of all, you cannot buy these rainbow poppies anywhere. And third of all, it's not a gay thing. There is no international LGBT cabal out there haranguing veterans into wearing rainbow poppies.
Yeah.
The Canadian Legion is like, there is a poppy, and they're actually very good at protecting the
image of it,
poppy image. Mm-hmm. And in the UK, the British Legion, which is where these two poppies came from, the coloured ones, also protects its image of the poppy. So you cannot buy them. If you want a poppy, donate to the Legion, get an actual poppy. And I can tell you now that the gay community does get a little overly defensive.
It can, and then we get overly defensive, and people get overly defensive when we do stuff.
Yeah. So in this case, it wasn't us. This is a hands up, not me scenario.
Yeah.
But it goes a little bit further because yes, there were LGBT soldiers that fought. You know, Alan Turing.
Yeah.
Cracked the Enigma machine.
He wasn't on the front lines though. The poppy is supposed to be people who fell in battle.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean. Well, the other thing is that you couldn't serve openly until the 80s.
Well, Alan
Turing
was chemically castrated shortly afterwards and sentenced to jail, you know, because he was gay.
Yeah.
And yet, without him, we would have...
Openly serving soldiers kind of wasn't really a thing until the 90s.
Mm.
Not that... Because the poppy is supposed to represent all fallen soldiers, not just the ones from World War II. So, I mean, you could definitely commemorate soldiers who died in, you know, the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq, the war in Syria. Like
there were
these...
two Canadian medics that just passed in Afghanistan, for example.
Or peacekeeping missions, or all the earthquake support they did in Haiti.
Mm.
There's a few people who died of infections just being there.
But
I mean, like,
there have been LGBT soldiers.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that we acknowledge that. We acknowledge the impact that Don't Ask, Don't Tell had.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that there was a purge within the Canadian military. You know, these things all have an impact. We have a close friend, a joint friend, who told me once, she was a sniper with the military.
Right.
And she told me once that she encountered a male military person forcing himself upon somebody who was a lesbian. And there was nothing that lesbian could do about it because just the environment of silence, the environment of the anti-LGBT sentiment that was there at the time meant that outing herself could have lost her job. And it's, you know, the Canadian military does have some dark little places in its history. And that's fine. But that's not what the poppy's about.
But then other places, like, apparently... The village people weren't joking. Like, the Navy is the gay-friendliest branch of the military because they have a long history of being indifferent. Your sniper story is better than my sniper story. I used to know a lesbian sniper who's...
A
different lesbian sniper, and she told me that she learned how to pee standing up as a part of her training.
Huh.
So that's a...
I don't know.
Which very different tone.
Very different sniper stories.
Yeah.
But this is the point. You know, we can spare a few thoughts for these LGBT soldiers.
For sure, yeah.
But I think as a LGBT person who wears a poppy and donates to the Legion when doing so, I think it is important that we recognize that all of the incredible men and women who served to protect Canada, to protect... freedom and independence against the Nazis. Like, I mean, you know, there are the fact that we can march in the Pride Parade is because straight men and straight women fought and died in the war.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we owe it to wear the red and black poppy. And also, the rainbow poppy is not a gay thing and doesn't exist.
Well, I mean, if you want a rainbow poppy, just buy a poppy and then buy some acrylic paint and a tiny brush and then paint your own stripes on it.
Just wear a normal poppy.
I mean, you've been to Pride parades and you see the stuff that people make by hand.
That's true.
A lot of it is. Some of it is well intended but poorly executed. Some of it is poorly executed and poorly thought out as well.
Yeah, no, that's so
true. It runs the gambit, and then every so often you see something that just looks amazing. But
Manitoba's been in the news a lot, so it's not only this student that has been wrapped up into the broader Rainbow Poppy debacle.
Right.
But there is also the story that the province of Manitoba was ordered to pay $50,000
yes.
to an individual who could not mark X on their birth certificate.
Okay.
Now, it may be a surprise to some of our listeners, but in, I think under the Canadian Human Rights Act, in Canadian documentation, you can yeah. put X, or they're working on it to roll out X as an option.
Yeah.
And there's also work being done at nearly every province.
Yeah.
So it's so universal that...
There are some issues like driver's licenses and health cards are provincially run. So mm-hmm. it's up to the provinces to determine how to do that. But birth certificates are federal. So, yeah. and the feds say third option is valid. So...
Put one there.
You, as a province, don't have the right to say, we choose to not acknowledge this.
So the province of Manitoba was told, get your act together, put it together. Yeah. It reminds me, actually, of the Cayman Islands. Manitoba totally often reminds me of the Cayman
completely
Islands.
Completely clear connection. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Everybody yeah. knows
Let about, me explain.
About how the Caymans make so much wheat and lentils.
And they're nice and flat.
Yeah.
No, it's it reminds me of the Cayman Islands because in March,
yeah.
the judiciary, or one of the judges in the Cayman Islands, ruled
yeah.
that the exclusion of LGBT from marriage
yeah.
was discriminatory based on this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. And as a result, the government needs to make, therefore,
yeah.
marriage is open to same-sex couples.
It was very similar to Uganda and I think Jamaica
as well. I don't think it was Uganda.
No. But what I'm saying is a lot of them are saying, why do we have this law in the books? It's just a holdover from colonialism. Did we ever actually take the time to look at whether or not
the Cayman Islands is a British territory?
Yeah.
So it still maintains a legal connection to Britain, more so than Canada or a lot of the African mm-hmm. nations. Now, a tribunal in the Cayman Islands recently ruled that the judge overstepped. But what was really interesting is they said the government really should have a plan.
Yeah.
And you should have an expeditious plan, yeah. i.e. get it done now.
Well, the other thing is, if you're going to do this or not do this, you need to have a clear reason why.
Well, essentially the judge said there needs to be either gay marriage through law mm. or a gay marriage equivalent through law, because having no equivalency
yeah.
is discriminatory.
Yeah.
And I think that does leave a lot of doors open for the Cayman Islands government. Although the judge also said, if they decide to take it back to Britain, mm. that's okay. So it may well be appealed mm. to the British Privy Council, which it would be quite an astonishing moment in time. Especially as, because I don't think there is one right now, because they're in an election period.
Okay.
So I don't think it's usually like the Prime Minister and the Chancellor of the Exchequer and the head of the judges and so on and so forth. So the Caymans reminds me of Manitoba, because the Manitoba judge told the province of Manitoba to get its act together mm. on these X on birth certificates issues. And in the Cayman Islands, that judge also said the fact that there isn't a marriage equivalency mm-hmm. is something that they have to expeditiously sort out.
Not even a secular...
No, there's nothing.
Same-sex
and that was the gist of the initial lawsuit in March, which ended up granting, at least for the temporary time being, same-sex marriage.
Because that was Japan's excuse for why they haven't legalized same-sex marriage. They basically said, you have secular civil unions, you can fill out the paperwork. If a local, you know, Shinto or Buddhist, usually Shinto priest, is willing to marry you, that's up to you, go for it. Mm-hmm. But they basically said, because there is civil unions, we don't need to open the marriage debate, which I don't like, but there is a reason. You know, you can disagree with the reason, but there is a reason, and it kind of does have some internal logic to it. It's not ideal. If the Caymans came up with something like that, like, we have this other thing that gives you equivalent, like, it's more about the rights and freedoms than it is about the word. A lot of people get hung up on marriage versus civil unions, but mm-hmm. I mean, step one is civil rights, visitation rights, inheritance rights, adoption rights, things like that. After you've got the rights, now you can start quibbling over the terminology. Exactly. I mean, it would be great to get everything all at once in one foul swoop of just like ultimate wokeness. Oh, we've been wrong this whole time. There you go. But that's not how history works. And it usually goes one step at a time. And I would rather see them go one step at a time towards equality than have them quibble over whether or not they're going to do everything all at once or not. Because generally speaking, when governments can't agree on something, they default to status quo. And I would rather see them meet each other halfway iteratively, again and again, meeting each other halfway over the next 20 years of gradually improving than having them default to status quo over the next 20 years because they can't agree to do the whole thing all at once. It's not ideal. I'm not saying this is a good situation. I'm saying if you look at political history, this is how you make progress happen. It's not great, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to touch on one more story.
One more story.
And that is from Yorktown, Saskatchewan. It's a little city in Saskatchewan. It's sort of like, in terms of going up the province, it's sort of between Regina and Saskatoon. And it's sort of over to the east of where Regina is.
Northeast, okay.
Yeah, northeast of
into the corner.
No, I mean, Saskatchewan's really tall.
It's really tall, but it's also very square.
And most things are in the bottom bit. Yeah. But that's, anyway, for all of our wonderful Saskatchewan listeners.
It's usually depicted like wedge-shaped, but that's just because of the curvature of the Earth. Because the Earth is a globe, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
It's not flat. It's a globe. And it is 90 degrees.
It's not flat?
Right? It's 90 degrees in all four corners, but because of the curvature of the Earth, if you lay it out flat, it looks wedge-shaped. It's weird. But yeah, it's a square. It's a gigantic, well, rectangle, but yeah. No, it's,
yeah.
Yeah. It's weird.
So
it's a weird
the
territory.
Reason why I wanted to mention this, and this right, ties okay. back to the rainbow poppy and the laws, and you know there are a lot of fights that the LGBT community is fighting,
right?
And rightly so. There is still a lot of work to be done. We're actually working in the background on an episode around hate crimes, hoping to talk to the Ottawa City Councillor who had an email saying atrocious things because she's a lesbian.
Openly.
And then also the local MP in Ottawa who had defamatory messages.
I bet she likes chicken wings.
I think she would.
Yeah.
I wonder, I don't think she's a chicken wing and be a lesbian.
No.
She wouldn't say no.
I think she could easily hang out with beer and chicken wings. We should invite her out to chicken wings.
We should.
Anyway, go on. Sorry.
I like it. Actually, that'd be great.
I'm very distracted.
If we do the interview over chicken wings, I'm okay with this.
Oh, that'd be so amazing.
Anyway, so the whole point is that there has been a spike in hate crimes, and we're going to talk about that either next week or the week after. Mm. But one of the things I wanted to say is, although there are many areas where LGBT rights continue to need to be pushed and developed and fought for, there are areas where maybe we're okay. And
yeah.
This is where Yorktown comes in.
Okay.
And it's a conservative riding.
Right.
It is in, I mean, it's not rural Saskatchewan, but it's not a very big city.
Okay, yeah.
It is quite small. And
I mean, I've met people from Saskatchewan, and they joke that all of Saskatchewan is rural, including the big city. But I mean, that would be, if you live in Saskatchewan, you can email us to, or not email, you can,
I mean, they could email us.
Send us a tweet or, get,
do the, do the
Facebook
book of faces. Yeah.
And tell us what you think about your lovely province.
I mean, the city has a population of about 16,000.
Okay.
So sometimes I feel like the building I'm in has about 16,000 people in it.
Yeah.
So it's not a very big city.
Okay.
Is what I'm saying. And what they've decided is they are sick. I'm tired of gosh damn proclamations.
Oh, yes.
So they have proclaimed that they are done with it.
This is the last proclamation.
No more. I hereby proclaim no more blasted proclamations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're like, and essentially their reasoning is, you know what? We proclaim anything. You could proclaim it's the sky is blue.
Yeah.
And someone's going to be upset.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I get it.
Yeah.
I do get it. And it comes out a lot of from the pride proclamations triggering the more right-wing straight pride proclamations.
Yeah.
And they had, I think, a number of other proclamations, and people were just, like, never happy.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
they're
yeah.
just like, nope, we're done. We're out of the proclaiming game.
Yep.
You know, you can walk your own 500 miles. I am done. That's
yeah.
it. Game over.
We will neither help nor hinder you.
Absolutely.
Actually, so, I like that policy.
I agree. And yeah. I think, you know, we saw that New Brunswick town just east of Fredericton before he hit like Moncton.
Oh, the one that did the straight pride, and they're
that,
like
that accidentally put a straight pride flag
yeah,
up,
yeah, yeah,
and was then all over international news for 48 hours because everyone thought they were all bigoted.
Yeah,
and the guys were like, no, we honestly did not know.
Yeah, basically, I mean, somebody handed them a flag and they said, oh,
have you filled out the form? Looks at form, it's filled out. Okay, cool.
Up the flagpole it goes. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, they should have Googled it, but that's another story.
You got to pay someone to do that, though.
It's true. And that's my point. A lot of these smaller towns and cities, like there was that big battle over a rainbow crosswalk.
Yeah.
And then we talked before about how rainbow, not rainbow murals, but murals that are indicative or reflective of your local history, mm-hmm. That's LGBT, is so much more powerful. And I think that maybe not having the proclamations, I mean, you said the proclaimers then, but not having the proclamations.
They're also good, though.
That is true. Yeah. Is not a bad option.
No.
You know, I do think that it is important for municipal authorities
yeah.
to demonstrate in some way
yeah.
that they are there to represent and work with all constituents, including
yep.
the LGBT community.
Yep.
So I don't think this is a get out of pride free card for the municipality of Yorkton.
Yeah.
But I do understand what their issue is.
Well, it's like they don't need to necessarily proclaim, we hereby open Black History Month. That's done elsewhere, number one. Number two, really what should be happening is the local community organizes something and you participate. You don't need to run the show. There's mm-hmm. other organizations that, quite frankly, could do a better job. This is not necessarily to besmirch City Hall. It's just that that's not your specialty. Your specialty is picking up the garbage and making sure the sewers function. Like, acknowledging Black History Month, the local Black History organization or you know, Anti-Black Racism Awareness Association should be running that. And then you show up and say, good job, folks, we support you. That's really what City Hall should be doing instead of running everything themselves. Because even here in Ottawa, every so often, City Hall will try to run something. Then you go to that and you're just so cringy, like,
hashtag no placards. And this is, for regular listeners, I get thoroughly irate when there is artwork or really anything with zero explanation.
Yeah.
It just drives me up the wall.
Or a demonstration where they're yelling things that rhyme and you're like, what are they even protesting?
And there's no clear indication of what they're talking
and
about.
And they're just, rah, rah, rah. It's, okay. And they held up a sign that just says no. And you're like,
no
what? What is that? It's like getting directions from you.
Thanks. No, it's my issue with it is because City Hall in Ottawa, at least, raises flags all the flipping time.
The time.
And I think it's when there's visiting dignitaries, they put
yep.
the flag of said dignitaries.
Yep. Yep.
But they also raise flags for various days.
Yeah.
Except unless you know about said day, half the time I'm like, what is that flag?
What is that flag?
What is it for?
Yeah.
And there is no little signpost, no little printout, no memo.
Nope.
Nothing. Nope. Hashtag no placard.
Or the flags will be at half mast, and you'll be like,
and you're like, who died?
Who died? And it turns out nobody died. It was just they're commemorating something. And
but what? It just
somebody died 40 years
when
ago.
When I see City Hall's flags at half mast from the bridge, you can also see Parliament Hill.
Yeah.
So I'm always like, okay, the city's mourning somebody or something.
Yeah.
Is Parliament mourning them? And if the answer is no, then nobody's died in the last 24 hours.
It just occurred to me that's a very important bridge because usually when you see pictures of people skating on the canal in mm-hmm. Ottawa in at Winterlude, the bridge you stand on to get all those beautiful pictures of thousands of people skating mm-hmm. is the same bridge you stand on to look at City Hall and the same bridge you stand on where you can see Parliament and all their flags. And you can also see the bloody Shopify building who photoshopped themselves in the background of every picture of Ottawa. I don't know if you've noticed that. It's hilarious. Whenever you look at their literature, there's the Shopify building where the Shopify building does not belong. It's so bizarre.
How bizarre. Unfortunately, though, we have run out of time. There were a couple of other things I wanted to talk about, but we didn't get to them. So
great. Instead, we talked about beer and chicken wings a whole lot.
We did talk about beer and chicken wings. An awful lot with a little bit of Lesbians in the Forest
Luke,
to help break it up. Yes.
What are you having for dinner?
I'm not having chicken wings.
I'm
having some fish.
All right, I'll go make other friends. See?
Friends that drink beer and chicken wings. We're playing out with the Indigos, Closer to Fine. Indigo Girl, sorry, Closer to Fine. Mm-hmm. I've been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian, and thanks for listening.
I'm trying to tell you something about my life. Maybe give me insight between black and white. And the best thing you ever done for me is to help me take my life less seriously. It's only life after all. Yeah. Well, darkness has a hunger that's insatiable. And lightness has a call that's hard to hear. And I wrap my fear around me like a blanket. I sail my ship of safety till I sank it. I'm crawling on your shores. I went to the doctor. I went to the mountains. I looked to the children. I drank from the fountains. There's more than one answer to these questions, pointing me in a crooked line. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find, yeah. Closer I am to find, yeah. And I went to see the doctor of philosophy with a poster of Rasputin and a beer down to his knee. He never did marry or see a B-grade movie. He graded my performance. He said he could see through me. I spent 4 years prostrate to the higher mind. Got my paper and I was free. I went to the doctor. I went to the mountains. I looked to the children. I drank from the fountains. There's more than one answer to these questions, pointing me in a crooked line. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find, yeah. Closer I am to find, yeah. I stopped by the bar at 3 a.m. to seek solace in a bottle or possibly a friend. I woke up with a headache like my head against a board, twice as cloudy as I'd been the night before. And I went in seeking clarity. I went to the doctor. I went to the mountains. I looked to the children. I drank from the fountain. We go to the doctor. We go to the mountains. We look to the children. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find.